Richard Bernstein, who's a partner in the Michigan-wide Bernstein Law Firm. Richard, how are you?
Tony, good morning. It's always great to be with you. Thank you for having me on.
I haven't talked to you in a while. What's new?
Oh, you know what? I'll tell you. In our world, in my life, it's never a dull moment. That's why I feel so incredibly blessed. I have to tell you, I'm one of those people who loves being a lawyer because, honestly, every day when you're in court and you're fighting for what you believe in, it really can be incredibly exciting. So I feel blessed each day to wake up and go out there and get a chance to go to court. And when you're blind, you're happy if you can get through the day and not get hit by a truck. It's all perspective.
Hey, Richard, I'm not blind, and I'm happy I don't get hit by a truck. So we totally understand. Listen, I want to read a Facebook post to you and get your take on this story that we started talking about yesterday. Here's the post. Totally traumatized by the day, our sweet Chloe, our dog, was attacked by two pit bulls and a German Shepherd Saturday. She came out of surgery yesterday with one less kidney and a very critical 24 to 48 hours as we monitor her infections. This is the third time these dogs have attacked a local dog, and the police in the community of Oscoda, Michigan, refused to confiscate the dogs. Isn't there a law to protect us and our pets? Please pray for Chloe. Tell us what you know about Michigan law and what can be done for the owner of these dogs.
Oh man, that's really a tragedy. And I'll tell you something. I mean, I love animals. I mean, I love dogs, and they make such a huge impact in people's lives, and they make such a profound effect on all people. And I think what you have in this situation is, from what the email is stating, is that, you know, it really goes to the, it's not as much about the animals as much as it is about the people. And I think what you have in a situation like this is you really have a neighbor who's just incredibly inconsiderate. That's really what it comes down to. You know, and I would imagine that this is the kind of neighbor that just really doesn't really have any consideration or really any concern for other people, which is really unfortunate. And to be honest, I think the saddest part of these kind of situations is that the animals are really the victims too. So in this situation, you know, all the animals that are involved are really the victims of just, for all intents and purposes, careless people. As it pertains to the law and how you look at animals, law basically would look at an animal as property. So really in this situation, when you're talking about the fact that you have these horrible injuries to these, like, poor animals, the way the law would do an analysis of it is that basically these animals would be seen by the law as chattel, as property. So, you know, ultimately it's unfortunate in that regard. I think what cities and towns should be doing is having local ordinances. Now, I live here in Birmingham, Michigan. In Birmingham, there's actually an ordinance that forbids you. It's completely illegal to have pit bulls within Birmingham. And, you know, if you live in Birmingham and you have a pit bull, that's a violation of an ordinance, and that can be a civil/criminal type of offense. What you'd have to look at is basically, does this town that we're talking about have an ordinance that would be in place as it pertains to this? And I think really in this situation is it sounds like this is falling kind of on the low priority of the city council, and it's probably following on the low priority of law enforcement. And to be honest with you, the fact that you have repeated attacks by these animals should really give pause to people. And the sad reality here is that not only do you have a situation where basically you have animals that are being harmed by the behavior of these pit bulls because of the owner's neglect, but eventually what's going to happen, Tony, is someone's going to get hurt and someone's going to get killed, and then law enforcement will get involved. So I would suggest to the people of Oscoda and to the law enforcement of Oscoda that this really would constitute notice. This is your notice that basically you have animals that are violent, that are not being cared for appropriately by their owner because apparently they're getting loose and they're terrorizing the neighborhood. You have people who are really acting as scofflaws and basically putting their neighbors at risk by not caring for their animals the way they're supposed to. And sadly, what's going to happen if this is allowed to continue is that everyone's going to get hurt. All the animals in question are going to continue to get hurt, and the pit bulls in question are going to be hurt because eventually, because of the owner's neglect and negligence, these animals are not just going to do harm to other animals. Eventually, there's going to be a child or there's going to be someone who is going to be hurt. And unfortunately, in many situations, from what we see, will in many situations be killed.
Richard, can a community like Birmingham or even Lansing actually tell you you can't have a certain breed of dog? Isn't that prejudice?
They can. In fact, they can, and that it falls to basically that it falls to the ownership of, excuse me, it falls to the leadership of that community, and it falls to the leadership of those cities that they can, in fact, do that. And sometimes in certain situations, I mean, basically, if you wish to live in a community or you wish to live in a city, you have to follow the laws and the rules of that community and that city. And I think, you know, Tony, your question is a very good one. And I understand, and I totally understand, you know, what pit bulls owners are thinking. They're saying, look, you know, my animal's a good animal. My animal, you know, is a kind animal. And I think in certain situations, you know, what can sometimes happen is that you have to look to the statistics. And the reason that Birmingham determined that they wanted to outlaw pit bulls and forbid them, you know, within the community is that unfortunately, you know, when you look at certain breeds, there are unfortunately, and I do understand that there's a separate position to this and a second side, and I do understand how passionate people get over this, and that's completely understandable. I mean, as an animal lover myself, I totally understand how people can feel about this. But there are in many situations, and the reason that cities and towns do outlaw pit bulls in certain situations is because there sometimes can be a certain propensity to this breed that this breed can, of other breeds, you know, if you were to look at the number of pit bull attacks and you could compare that to, let's say, a Labrador or Standard Poodle or German Shepherd or other types of breeds, pit bulls do sometimes have a greater propensity to attack humans than other, and if you look at the percentages, and it can sometimes be a little bit high. So I think what happens is that cities and towns will, in many situations, look at that. They'll look at the data. They'll look at the statistics. They'll look at the fact that there's, you know, tending to be sometimes some danger that comes out of it, and then they pass ordinances as it pertains to that. I can tell you from my research in this area and discussions I've had on this, and you know the work that our office does in this kind of manner is that pit bulls, I mean, more often than not, I do realize that there are separate sides to this, you know, can be very dangerous, especially to children, 2-3-year-old children, and it isn't uncommon for you to have horrible injuries as a result of a pit bull attack, especially to a child, and often is the case that those injuries not only can be catastrophic, they can lead to death.
Richard Bernstein is a partner and lawyer with the Bernstein Law Firm. Richard, thanks so much for your time. Enjoy your day.
Tony, I love your show. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Yes.